Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're digging into Johan Norberg's Progress, a book that's basically a cold shower for all our doom-scrolling habits. So Sophie, I gotta ask, what got you hooked on this one?
Hey there, Sam. Well, honestly, the title alone felt like a dare. I mean, turn on any news channel and it's like the world's ending, right? But Norberg comes in with a mountain of data and says, actually, hold on, let's look at the big picture. And the big picture is pretty stunning. Right? And he doesn't just pull that out of thin air.
Let's talk about food then, because that's one I had no idea about. I mean, we always hear about famine, but Norberg says the percentage of the world population that's undernourished has fallen from over 50% in the mid-20th century to under 10% today. That's insane.
It is. And it's not just about quantity. The real price of food has dropped by like 75% over the last century. So even the poorest people can afford to eat better than their ancestors could have dreamed. The Green Revolution was a game changer.
And that connects directly to health, doesn't it? Because once people aren't starving, they're more resilient. But the stats on life expectancy are the ones that really got me.
Oh, for sure. Global life expectancy has more than doubled in the last century, from around 35 years in 1900 to over 70 today. And the most dramatic gains are in the developing world. A child born in India today can expect to live to 70.
And Norberg makes the point that the single greatest human achievement isn't the moon landing or the internet. It's the reduction in child mortality. In 1950, 1 in 5 kids died before their 5th birthday. Today, it's 1 in 27. That's millions of lives saved every single year.
Yeah, when you put it like that, it's hard to argue with. And then there's poverty. I mean, extreme poverty is defined as living on less than $1.90 a day. That's absolute destitution. And for most of history, that was the default. As recently as 1820, the vast majority of the world lived like that.
Right. And by 1950, it was still 75%. But now, under 10%. In the last 50 years, it's just plummeted.
And the key thing Norberg points out is that this isn't about charity. It's about capitalism and global trade. When China, India, Vietnam embraced market reforms, they lifted hundreds of millions out of destitution. The key is opportunity, not handouts.
Yeah, that's a tough pill for some people to swallow, but the data is right there. And speaking of tough pills, let's talk about violence, because that's the one that really goes against our gut.
Totally. We see 24-hour news coverage of wars and terrorism, so it feels like we're living in uniquely violent times. But Norberg, drawing on Steven Pinker, shows that we're actually living in the most peaceful period in human history.
For our hunter-gatherer ancestors, the chance of dying from violence was around 15%. In the 20th century, despite 2 world wars, it fell to about 3%. And in the 21st century, it's under 1%.
Yeah, it's a hard sell emotionally, but the numbers are clear. And he attributes this to strong states, trade, and the spread of norms that value human life.
I'll admit, I pushed back on that one when I first read it. It feels reductive, you know? But then I thought about it, and he's not saying the world is perfect. He's saying the trend is in the right direction.
Exactly.
And that brings us to the environment, which is probably the one area where people think he's crazy. But he actually makes a really interesting argument there too.
Okay, I'm ready. Hit me.
So, he doesn't deny climate change. Not at all. But he argues that the pre-industrial world wasn't an environmental paradise either. People were cutting down forests for wood. Rivers were open sewers. The real problem was scarcity.
And the modern economy solved that by letting us produce more food on less land. So in many places, forests are actually returning. The air in London is cleaner today than it's been since the Middle Ages.
Right.
And the point is that we have the technology and wealth to solve our environmental problems. It's a problem of abundance, not scarcity. The challenge isn't to go backward, but to innovate forward.
So what's the engine behind all this progress? because it's not like we just got lucky.
Norberg says it's the exchange of knowledge. The scientific revolution gave us a method for discovery. The industrial revolution gave us tools to apply it. And then it's a feedback loop. Knowledge leads to innovation. Innovation leads to prosperity, and prosperity funds more knowledge.
And no one person knows how to make a pencil, let alone a smartphone. It's this vast global network of exchange. He calls it the miracle of the market.
Yeah, it's a beautiful idea, but he's not some naive optimist. He knows there are setbacks, wars, and dark chapters. He acknowledges the exploitation and the environmental damage.
Right, but the key insight is that we've learned from our mistakes. The institutions that protect progress, like democracy and free trade, are fragile. The real danger is losing faith in progress itself.
So, why are we so pessimistic? I mean, the book spends a lot of time on that.
He blames the negativity bias in our brains, the news media, and this intellectual fashion of declinism. But the deepest reason might be that we're always solving one problem and revealing the next.
We don't worry about smallpox anymore, so we worry about cancer. We don't fear famine, so we worry about obesity. That's not a sign of failure. That's a sign of success. We've raised our standards.
He calls those luxury problems, and I think that's such a useful frame. It doesn't dismiss them, but it reminds us that they're problems only a wealthy, advanced civilization could afford to have.
So, Sam, what's the one thing you're taking away from this book?
Honestly, it's the reminder that the story of humanity is a climb out of the muck, not a fall from grace, and that the tools for solving our current problems are still at our disposal. Reason, science, trade, and freedom. We've done it before, and we can do it again.
And if you want to go deeper, the whole library is over on 7minutebooks.com/app, with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access. But the heart of it for me is gratitude. We're not doomed. We're a work in progress, and that's a beautiful thing. We'll see you in the next one.